Today is December 19th, 2021. And I'm Al Nass. I'm stepping in for Peter Redman, who's away at a funeral this weekend in Texas. This is the Bible Forum, not a church, where we rightly divide the word of truth. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to share with you what I study. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a teacher. I'm not an evangelist. I'm just going to share with you what I study and let you search and see what the scripture has to say. Last time we studied the first Old Testament prophecy that was fulfilled in the New Testament, Isaiah 7:14. I must confess that prophecy is not one of my favorite subjects in the Bible. And I'm sure it's not one of yours either, right? So please indulge me while we do a brief refresher course, what I call Prophecy 101. And then we're going to dive into some very thought-provoking questions and observations. So forgive me while I just sort of skim through the surface of a very voluminous topic of prophecy to get to the crescendo at the end, the point of this lesson. You often hear people say that Bible prophecy is being fulfilled before our very eyes. But here's a hint. But what prophecies are there before their very eyes that they don't see? So what is prophecy? The late Oscar Baker quotes C.V. Duff in volume 26, page 18 of Truth for the Day Lessons. He says, Bible-believing experts point out that the true, genuine prophecy must have at least five requirements. It must have been made prior to its fulfillment. It must be beyond human foresight. It must give details and not just broad statements. It must be incapable of fulfillment by the prophet himself, and it must have a clear and obvious fulfillment. Of course, it goes without saying that prophecy must come from God himself. What is prophecy? It's usually a spoken word or written word, a prediction. Some prophecies are even sung. What is prophecy? Well, Noah's Webster Dictionary says it's a foretelling, a prediction, a declaration of something to come. As God only knows future events with certainty, no being but God or some person informed by him can utter a true prophecy. The prophecies recorded in scriptures, when fulfilled, afford most convincing evidence of the divine origin of the scriptures. So when prophecy is stated and fulfilled, it proves that scriptures are of divine origin. So that's one purpose of prophecy. So what is a prophet? A prophet is God's spokesperson. A prophet could be also called in the scriptures a seer, or a man of God, or a dreamer of dreams. A prophet can receive a prophecy directly from God through a vision, through a dream, through a revelation, through an intermediary, being such as an angel of God or the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Again, Oscar Baker said, some say that the first prophecy given in the Bible is Genesis 3:15. Now, I'm going to go through a lot of scriptures today. If you don't want to turn to all of them, you don't have to, but you can either jot them down or trust me, but there are some we're going to stop and look at as we go through. So Genesis 3:15 says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So this was spoken by God to the serpent in the garden. This is divided into four parts. The enmity between Satan and Israel, the enmity between Antichrist and Christ, Christ to crush Satan's head, and Satan to bruise Christ's heel. This is the outline of the conflict of the ages. We not only are left in doubt, we are not left in doubt as to the outcome of those prophecies. Notice that the first prophecy in the Bible is spoken directly from God himself. Notice that Abraham is the first prophet in Genesis 27 and 20:17. He was not a predictor, but he was God's spokesman. Joseph was a prophet. He was not a predictor. He was a dreamer. Aaron was the next prophet because Moses asked God to choose someone else. Moses didn't want to be a prophet. So Moses became an intermediary prophet between God and Aaron. Aaron often spoke what God said to Moses. Samuel was a prophet. David was a prophet. And there are predictive prophets such as Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and we had the 12 minor prophets, and Daniel. And a number of the Psalms are predictive in character. Many biblical characters had prophetic names. And I'm sure that you've heard the adage, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Well, this is tantamount to saying that the Old Testament is prophecy revealed in the New Testament. However, we know that the New Testament does contain much prophecy itself in the form of signs, parables, miracles, and even revelations. Did the Gospels contain any prophecies? Was Jesus a prophet? Sometimes we don't think of Jesus as a prophet, but some religions think that's all he was a prophet. Deuteronomy 18:18 is a prophecy about a prophet. It says, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he will speak unto them all that I shall command him. Well, in John 1:21, they asked John the Baptist, art thou that prophet? In John 6:14, says, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come or is coming into the world. John 7:40 says, many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet. And as Deuteronomy 18:18 says, every word Jesus spoke would come from his Father, and he was the ultimate prophet. John 12:50 says, and I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. John 14:10 says, the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. What about the book of Revelation? That whole book is prophecy that God gave to the ascended Lord Jesus Christ and sent by him unto his servant John by his angel. So, okay, but you're finished with prophecy 101 right there. That's it. Now we're going to jump way ahead to prophecy 701. You're going to be on the doctorate level here now when we talk about this. With the foregoing as a foundation, here are some leading questions for our study today. Do all biblical prophecies pertain to the nation of Israel? At this present time, in this present biblical age, in this present dispensation of God, Are there any biblical prophecies being fulfilled? Are there any biblical prophecies that pertain to the body of Christ? If this present dispensation of grace was hid from ages and generations and hid in God from the beginning of the world and was not revealed until it was revealed to the Apostle Paul, then how could any biblical prophecy speak to it? If Israel is now Lo Ami and the body of Christ is part of a secret dispensation to fill this gap, how can there be any biblical prophecies that pertain to the present age, which was kept secret? Was the Apostle Paul a prophet? Have you ever considered Paul as a prophet? In his first epistle, Paul wrote this to the Galatians. Galatians 1:11 through 12. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. In Paul's Acts period epistles, did he write any foretelling about the future that might have been revealed to him from above? Well, how did he know about the resurrection of the dead and the coming of the Lord in 1 Thessalonians 4? 1 Thessalonians 4, 15 through 17. Also in 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 10 and 2, 3 through 4 and 7 and 2, 7 through 12. These are all about the second coming of the Lord. How did he know that? How did he know that the saints will judge the world in 1 Corinthians 6, 2? And the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God in 1 Corinthians 6, 9. How did Paul know about the details of then cometh the end in 1 Corinthians 15, 24? How did Paul know the mystery of the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 55 in a twinkling of an eye? Do these not fit the definition of a prophecy? In 1 Corinthians 11, 10, the spirit of prophecy was given as one of the several gifts of the Spirit. We normally do not think of Paul as a prophet. What did he say during the Acts period when the elders from the assembly of Ephesus came to Miletus? In Acts 20, 29 through 30, Paul said, "For I know this, that after my departure shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise speaking perverse things and draw away disciples after them." Was that not prophecy? But these are only a few examples of prophecy given to Paul during the Acts period. There are many prophecies concerning the body of Christ in the Bible. When we talk about the dispensation of the grace of God or the dispensation of the mystery of the body of Christ, the first biblical prophecies most of us will think of are written in Hosea. We often repeat Hosea 1:9. Then God said, "Call his name Lo Ami, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God." Hosea 3:4, "For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, and without a prince, and without a sacrifice, and without an image, without an ephod, and without a teraphim." Hosea 6:2 says, "After 2 days he will revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight." But do these concern the body of Christ or Israel? Well, in my opinion, these concern Israel. The dispensation of the secret of the body of Christ and the salvation of God being sent to the Gentiles simply fills this prophetic time of unknown duration. As God holds all things concerning Israel in abeyance while he takes time to bless the Gentiles. Any prophecies pertaining to the body of Christ would have to be given post-Acts. The only biblical prophecies written after the end of Acts would have to be written by Paul. Were there prophets after the end of Acts? Well, Ephesians 2:20 says, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." So Jesus Christ was the chief apostle and the chief prophet. And there were others. So these were post-Acts apostles and prophets that were foundational only. Ephesians 3:5 says, "Whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." Ephesians 4:11 says, "He that descended is the same that also ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the body, for the perfecting of the saints, for the working, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." These gifts are gifts of grace, as in Ephesians 4:7, as given to every man and every one of us according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Having received gifts, as Psalm 68:18, which he quoted in 4:11 in Ephesians, it says that he was given gifts, that he received gifts. So that prophecy has a twofold meaning, that he received gifts, but he also gives gifts. That Hebrew word has a dual meaning in Psalm 68:18. So he received gifts in Psalm 68:18, but Paul said he gave gifts. He gave some apostles and some prophets. Paul did not imply that this was a fulfillment of Psalm 68:18, because Jesus gave spiritual gifts during the Acts period. In 1 Corinthians 12, 1-11, Christ gave different gifts after the Acts period and is still giving gifts of grace today. When he returns, he will come with rewards for the faithful of Israel. These apostles and prophets, evangelists and pastors and teachers, were for the specific purpose of perfecting the saints, or saved believers, and for edifying of the body of Christ. The apostles and prophets were only foundational and existed at that time. The ministry was then carried forward by evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Are there prophets in this present dispensation? Well, only initially. And Paul was the only one of whom we have evidence. We normally don't think of Paul as a prophet. Was Paul a prophet? Was Paul given the spiritual gift of prophecy? Did Paul retain the spiritual gift of prophecy from the Acts period? Or was he given a new gift of prophecy by grace? Ephesians 3:2 says, "If we have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word." Ephesians 3:8, Paul said, "Unto me is this grace given." So it could have been a new gift given to Paul after the end of Acts. Paul had a lot to say about the future, both during the Acts and during his post-Acts ministry. According to the definition of a prophecy, did Paul write any post-Acts prophecies? Remember, it must have been made prior to its fulfillment. It must be beyond human foresight. It must give details and not just broad statements. It must be incapable of fulfillment by the prophet himself. It must have a clear and obvious fulfillment, and it must come from above. Well, concerning the Lord Jesus Christ in Philippians 2, 10 and 11, Paul said that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That fits the definition of a prophecy. Concerning Paul himself, Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:18, "And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Paul was prophesying about his future. I believe that Paul wrote some post-Acts prophecies about two groups of believers, which we will politely call those approved and those unapproved, according to 2 Timothy 2:15. Just like the prophecies concerning Israel, there are positive prophecies and there are negative prophecies. Paul wrote prophecies concerning the disapproved or ashamed believers. In my studies over the last year, I have been looking at the differences between the religion of Christianity and the body of Christ. And this fits into what I have been learning and coming to understand. Because here Paul predicts what the future will be concerning believers in this once secret dispensation. So let's turn to 1 Timothy 4:1 through 3. First Timothy 4, 1 through 3. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be revealed with thanksgiving of them that believe and know the truth. Well, the Spirit spoke this, so this came from the Spirit concerning latter times. What latter times is he talking about here? Could be the latter times of this dispensation. Not the latter times, as a lot of people think, that's still in the future, like in the book of Revelation. The history of Christianity does prove that these things did happen. Men took the freedom in Christ and made it a religion of Christianity, which became infused with paganism and Greek philosophy and mythology, ritualism and tradition. Now turn to 2 Timothy 3:1. So Paul now is jumping ahead further to complete maybe what he just started to say in 1 Timothy. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Here's what Oscar Baker had to say about this passage. in Truth for Today, volume 16, page 381. Most people read this passage without very serious thought as to whom it might refer. They do not even think very seriously of the time involved. Let us look at it again. The time is the last days of what period of time? Is it the last days of the present earth with a new earth in view as spoken by Peter? Or is it the last days of the dispensation of the mystery? Since we have seen from the former studies that the comparison of Ephesians and Colossians as to the doctrine of the mystery and Philippians and 2 Timothy as the working out of that salvation or calling, then this must be speaking of the last days of the dispensation in question, the dispensation of the mystery. Now, 2 Timothy 3:2 continues on, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." These are the negative prophecies. And to whom does this refer? Does it refer to the people in the world, the nations and their strifes and wars, to those who have never had contact with Christianity or believed the word of truth? Or does it refer to those who have been exposed to the truth and the mystery and maybe even made a profession but became reproprobate, as verse 8 seems to indicate? And note that it says those folks have a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Does this mean anything? Continuing in verse 6, "For this sort are they which crept into houses, leading captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith." Verse 9, "But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was." And Oscar continues on saying, "Surely we live in these last days, and this is a picture of the Christendom that we know. A great organization that has been formed by man. It professes to know God and to do his work. It has its schools and its colleges, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Many of our friends as well are aware that what happens to the man who will dare to try to proclaim this truth in these man-made organizations. You can talk about politics. You can talk about sports. You can give book reviews. You can teach economics. You can have parties and even dances. But just try to get a word of truth in and see what happens. No, we are not passing judgment. We just simply see the prophecy in the book and see it fulfilled before our very eyes. Can you see that this whole mess is of the flesh? They amuse themselves. They are well spoken of the world outside, for they are a bunch of do-gooders, and that takes with the world. But in light of all this and in the midst of it, the apostle warns in verse 12 that all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The apostates do not want their system disturbed. This is the same condition the Lord found here when he was on earth. No different. Verse 12 says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Right, Eldon? All right. Things will not get better. Verse 13 tells us that evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. We must learn to live godly in these surroundings. Let's go to 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itchy ears. Not the teachers, but the people have itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables or myths. These are the prophecies that those professing the religion of Christianity should take heed. Although these are not necessarily end-time prophecies, they are prophecies being fulfilled throughout this dispensation, and especially in the latter times, and in the last days of this dispensation of the mystery. Prophecies being fulfilled today. Before God spoke the first prophecy of Genesis 3:15, he had already chosen out the members of the body of Christ who would eventually rightly divide the word of truth to the intent that the manifold wisdom of God would be made known to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. So these are called the approved unto God workmen not to be ashamed. So just as Israel was blind to some prophecies and rejected others, we have a parallel in the religion of Christianity today. Prophecies for today are being overlooked or rejected concerning the two companies of God's people today. Among the prophecies being fulfilled today are those pointing to the very Christians who are more concerned about the end time prophecies to Israel. Their focus on the coming kingdom, or the Antichrist, or the rapture, or the second coming of the Lord, instead of the prophecies written by our beloved apostle and prophet Paul. Without sounding arrogant or judgmental, we only point out that they're not so obvious from Paul's admonitions that are being exposed. Some post-Acts prophecies written by Paul concern the disapproved religious people, as we just previously pointed out. These prophecies are being fulfilled before our very eyes. The religion of Christianity is not escaped from the prophecies concerning the disapproved or ashamed of Paul's epistles. For those whose eyes of understanding are being enlightened, there is still an opportunity to approve, to be approved and not be ashamed, and to come to the acknowledgement of the truth and enjoy the prophecies pertaining to the body of Christ. So what are the prophecies concerning the body of Christ? Well, let us rejoice in the precious prophecies given by Paul concerning us, the called out members of the body of Christ. Here are just a few. Ephesians 2:7. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. That's a good prophecy, right? Here's another good prophecy. Colossians 3:4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. That's a prophecy I like. 2 Timothy 4:8. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all, to them also that love his appearing. Now, there may be others, but those are a few prophecies concerning the body of Christ. These are prophecies for today that are part of truth for today. Prophecies about the body of Christ. Without these prophecies, where would we find the hope of his calling? So So most, but not all prophecies in the Bible pertain to Israel. Without prophecies, where would there be any hope for Israel? Without prophecies, where would there be any hope for the body of Christ? Listen to this. Prophecies are essential to the hope of every calling. Without prophecies, there's no hope. Even the overcomers in Revelation are given hope by the prophecies contained in Revelation. The very first prophecy in the Bible gives hope to all mankind. So there are prophecies being fulfilled in this present dispensation, some concerning the body of Christ, some for the religious persons who are either disapproved or apostate concerning the truth. Some are positive prophecies, some are negative prophecies. These very prophecies are being fulfilled in the last days of this dispensation while Israel is lo ami. These prophecies are written in the post-Acts epistles by our beloved apostle and prophet Paul so that we may know the hope of his calling. That completes your one-hour course in Prophecy 701. Thank you.